this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome to Unleashed, the Political News Hour. This is Bruce Robertson, and I'll be your host as we explore the hottest news of the week and we seek to unleash the truth when the mainstream media fails to do so. Before I begin today's show, I need to tell you about something that happened in my neighborhood this week. I live right near Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's palatial home, on a very narrow strip of Palm Beach Island. On Sunday afternoon, I was out on my balcony and I was having a cup of coffee and I was looking out over the beautiful intracoastal waterway overlooking South Ocean Boulevard in Palm Beach. And when I looked down, I saw some commotion going on. There were about six or so police cars pulled over on the side of the road. I thought initially, you know, there's a lot of bicyclists and joggers and so forth. And I thought perhaps someone had gotten hit by a car. It was that big of an emergency. And then I looked a little closer and, you know, it was a little far away. So I've tried to focus in, but I got out my binoculars and I took a look a little closer and I noticed that the police had some activity going on in the bushes, and they had seven shirtless men in shorts lined up along the jogging path, and they were sitting them down cross-legged on the ground and on this little strip of grass between the ocean and the intracoastal. You know, these men clearly don't live in the neighborhood, and you know, because nobody walks around shirtless in Palm Beach. I mean, there are joggers and there are bicyclists and people walking their dogs on that path on a Sunday afternoon. But you know, apparently a gang of illegal aliens had come ashore by boat on the ocean side near my home. And you know, I guess they tried to run inland, but they didn't realize how narrow this part of the island is. Or, you know, maybe they didn't know it was an island even. And so they ran smack dab across, you know, South Ocean Boulevard, which is a two-lane road, but it's pretty busy. And they ran smack dab into the other body of water, the intracoastal waterway. So, you know, it's about 100 yards from the beach to the intracoastal. And I think they went across and they got confused. They didn't know where to go. They thought they were going to go inland when they hit the shore. And I don't know what their game plan was or if they had one, but they were, I'm sure they wanted to just sort of disperse and get away as well as they could. Or I'm not sure, maybe turn themselves into authorities and seek asylum. But at any rate, I look down and there's this group of men and the police are surrounding them and they're stuck with nowhere to go. And they're on this very narrow strip of land. It's just the beach, some condos and some homes and the road and then a bike path and then the intracoastal. So as I watched in disbelief, this whole slew of police descended on my neighborhood and they rounded these young men up and they hauled them away. And I don't know what happened to them. I really don't know where they took them, but I'm going to try and find out. But I'm sharing this with you for a reason, because immigration and illegal immigration is in the news right now prominently. This country is being flooded with illegals. You know, we're now living in this moment in real time. So it's difficult for some of us across the nation to fully recognize the magnitude of this situation. You know, we don't ask people whether they have papers or not, or where they come from, or we don't know who all is legal and illegal. When we go to a restaurant, do we know that everybody in the kitchen has papers? No, we're not immigration officers, and we don't really ask that question. I think maybe some of us know, we have an idea, but, you know, make no mistake, folks. We are in the midst of an invasion, and it's not just at our southern and northern borders. And this experience, right outside my own window, should be a lesson to all of us. I mean, I was aware that, you know, I've heard of boatloads of people coming ashore in Florida, up and down the Florida coast. I think there was one up in Jupiter not long ago. And of course, you know, down further south in Key West and Miami and throughout the Keys, I'm sure they have boats coming in from Cuba and Dominican Republic and Haiti and all the islands. But, you know, how many Americans realize what's going on right under their noses? How about in Texas? Even in Texas, where people are pouring across the border, I'm sure, you know, they see it in the news, perhaps, but the mainstream media doesn't really report it. So there's a lot of word of mouth, or people are going through alternative media to see what's going on. But, you know, have you seen, for example, Glenn Beck just did a piece this week. And you know, I saw it after my experience out my own window. He did a piece on Colony Ridge in Liberty County, Texas, which is down near Houston, as I understand. And he showed this whole, there's a whole city, really, that has sprung up. It's sort of a shanty town. And, you know, there are even some quote-unquote entrepreneurial spirits that are selling these people these ramshackle trailers and, you know, basically container homes that they can live in. And there's a whole community that sprung up, and there are thousands and thousands of people living there. I mean, it might be the biggest refugee and illegal alien community, and everybody knows it's there. Everybody in the area knows it's going, what's going on. I mean, I think the police know about it, and you know, people know about it, but I don't see anybody doing anything about it. Why aren't these people being examined, deported, etc.? It's very concerning. A little while ago, I was in McAllen, Texas, and I saw a similar thing in McAllen. I was in the airport, and I saw people being handed envelopes, manila envelopes, with you know, paperwork in them, debit cards with money on them, plane tickets, bus transportation vouchers. Everybody got a voucher. Everybody got a package. It had some translations and directions on where to go. I learned that the Catholic Charities in the McAllen area and some of these border towns are being sort of hired with money from the, I believe, the federal government and some of these non-government organizations. And they're being hired to corral these people together, along with some social workers and along with some NGO people, you know, that have, I believe, an agenda to bring these people into the country. And they put them on buses and they take them to the airport and they ship them around the country. And where do these people go? Where's the processing for these individuals? How do we know who they are? They don't have identification. When they get on planes, they don't have to present the same ID that I have to present as a U.S. citizen, as a natural born U.S. citizen, in fact. I mean, when I go, you know, you go to the airport, right? You have to give your driver's license or your passport. They'll take either one. And I believe they're photographing you now. And, you know, they check your bags and they run everything through the machine. These illegals that are boarding planes, they don't have any identification. So what are they showing? How are they getting on planes? They're being put on planes. And most of them are military-aged men. Yes, okay, there's some families, a few, some children and so forth. Are they being checked for diseases? Are they being checked for criminal records? Are they being checked? They're not being checked for identification because they don't have any. What is going on? This is an invasion. This is a deliberate invasion of our country. Anyway, it happened in my backyard. It's happening in a lot of backyards across the nation. Houston, we got a problem. If we don't have strong borders, and if we don't have rules for immigration and citizenship, we're going to lose our nation, folks. We're going to lose it. It's going to go right down the toilet. That's a fact. If you import the third world, you will become the third world eventually. You can't lift the third world to the first world overnight by just spraying money at the situation. So, there's two big stories this week. I mean, immigration's an ongoing big story, but there's two really important big stories. And I'm exuberant about the results of these stories. And I'm going to talk about them in today's show. But the first big story is that the Supreme Court decided in a unanimous 9-0 verdict that Colorado does not have the power to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. So that's a big deal, folks. 9-0. Basically a shutout vote. And the second big story is that Trump nearly sweeps Super Tuesday. Now, did we know he was going to be popular? Of course we did. Did we know he was doing well and he had momentum? Of course we did. You could see it. You could see it from the rallies. You could see it from everything. His popularity just keeps increasing no matter how much lawfare and legal entanglements they throw at him. Fines, it doesn't matter. His popularity goes up. He's popular in the inner cities now. But he nearly swept Super Tuesday, all but guaranteeing that he will be the Republican candidate for president of the United States in the 2024 election. So these are things we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to go to a break. Again, I'm Bruce Robertson. I'd like you to pay attention to our wonderful sponsors as we go to a break. Our sponsors are some of the best, and they have some of the best products you've ever seen. And I use them. I would not endorse any product that I do not use myself. And I use Cofix RX nasal solution, triple action formula. It's povidone iodine. I use their throat cleanse, which is another amazing product. It's got xylitol and vitamin D3 in it. And it just helps clean out all your respiratory passages and bacteria and viruses and particulates. So let's take a break and go to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
We're back, folks. Bruce Robertson here, and this is Unleashed, the Political News Hour. Before the break, I was telling you that there are some big stories that are worth discussing here. And one of those stories is that this week, the Supreme Court of the United States was unanimous in reversing the activist Colorado Supreme Court's attempt to remove Donald Trump from the ballot under the 14th Amendment. The court voted 9-0 in favor of Trump and against the state's ability to do this. And they did so on the basis of the Constitution. This is their job, to interpret the Constitution. And it rose to the Supreme Court, and they actually had an emergency hearing on it. And, last Monday morning, they rendered a decision. And, they did so on the basis of the Constitution, which delegates all enforcement authority over the 14th Amendment to Congress. Okay? This effectively kills all similar state attempts to remove Trump from participating in state elections. The court held unanimously that states just don't have the power to decide who goes on the ballot. And I think that's an important distinction. It's a very important distinction, because the powers that the Constitution holds and the 14th Amendment holds are relegated to Congress, not the states in this case, because the Constitution is clear, it's specific. All powers not mentioned in the Constitution are relegated to the states. All powers relegated to Congress in the Constitution are relegated to Congress, not the states. So when the Constitution is clear about something, then we hold by that. Anything else is the purview of the states, and they can make their own decisions and their own legislation over it. But not this thing, not the 14th Amendment, not Article 3. And so the court said unanimously the states don't have the power. The question of whether Trump participated in an insurrection, as the media would have people think he did, was not before the court. And so it was therefore not addressed, nor was it answered in this verdict. Democrats have already indicated that their party members in Congress might refuse to certify, if Trump won the election in 2024, they might refuse to certify on that basis. Now, this is a move that would ostensibly be within the power of Congress to enforce under that clause, Clause 3 of the 14th Amendment. But if Congress did that, get this, this is an interesting wrinkle. If Congress did that, they'd have to bring proof of an insurrection. Now, nobody's ever charged Trump with insurrection. The media has tried them in the quote-unquote court of public opinion, but no court, no prosecutor has accused or tried Trump of insurrection. Now, it would require Congress, if Congress took that power upon themselves, let's assume that Democrats gained gained a majority, let's say Democrats had the majority to do it, or they had enough votes to do it, it would require them to establish that an insurrection took place on January 6th and that Donald Trump incited it. Now, you and I both know this is something that they haven't established at all so far. And based on the failure and the abject collapse of the January 6th committee, which, you know, was really nothing but a kangaroo court, in my opinion, it doesn't look like they'll be able to establish insurrection, because they would need to prove intent. And they would need to prove that a plan existed, that there was premeditation for insurrection and intent to commit insurrection. And that's a very high standard of proof. I don't believe they can carry that burden of proof. And by the time we get to January 6th, 2025, which is when the certification would take place, assuming Trump wins the election, the balance of the January 6th tapes will have already been released. In fact, they're coming out, the last stragglers of tapes, the last remnants of tapes are being released probably as we speak. So the tapes will have been released. And those tapes, you know, unedited, prove that the insurrection narrative was fake to begin with. You know, I mean, how often does a group of insurrectionists get okay, there was violence. Okay, there was a riot going on. These people were being shot with rubber bullets and flashbang grenades. They were being, you know, in some areas of the Capitol outside, they were being pushed together like a stampede. And then Capitol Police were firing upon them with rubber bullets shot from rifles and flashbang grenades and tear gas and all kinds of other stuff. They created a pandemonium. These people just moments before were, you know, standing arm in arm and singing the national anthem, and all of a sudden all hell broke loose. So, yeah, there was a lot of pushing around and stuff going on, and the police overreacted and they started bashing people's heads, and a few of the protesters got injured and two of them got killed. So, what happens when the footage shows that there was no insurrection? How often do you see a group of insurrectionists where they're escorted on a guided tour of the Capitol, you know, and between the velvet ropes, and they're walking past all the exhibitions inside the Capitol and the paintings of our founding fathers and everything else? And, you know, they're politely walking around and they're thanking the guards and they're fist bumping the guards and you know, and everybody's home back to their hotel by happy hour. Does that sound like an insurrection to you? Or, I mean, wouldn't an insurrection involve like tearing the place apart and burning the building down and, you know, something like capture the flag? I mean, you know, you know, Lexington and Concord was an insurrection, folks. You know, the Civil War was an insurrection. This was sort of, you know, a bunch of pushing and shoving going on. Okay, I get it. And some people got injured, not intentionally, although I believe that there was intent on the part of the Capitol Police to injure some people. And that's really concerning. And nobody's gone to jail for it. Nobody's even been really deeply investigated for it. But at any rate, you know, this wasn't an insurrection. And I think the tapes show it. And I think the case is a moot point. And Congress is going to try. I think the Democrats in Congress are going to try to make a mountain out of a molehill. But nevertheless, it's going to be an interesting election season in U.S. politics. Now, the second big story this week is that Trump has won 14 out of 15 states in the Republican primary mashup that we call Super Tuesday. Now, there was also a prior primary in D.C. that Nikki Haley won, but we'll get to that. Anyway, Trump almost swept Super Tuesday, and Nikki Haley has conceded defeat, and she'll suspend her presidential bid. But here's an interesting wrinkle. Nikki Haley will still refuse to endorse President Trump after her embarrassing defeat during Super Tuesday. Now, what's she trying to do here? She's not going to endorse Trump, but she said she'll encourage him to earn the support, I quote, earn the support of Republican and independent voters who backed her. Now, that to me is interesting because the Republican and independent voters who backed her, as she said, seem oblivious to the fact that Nikki Haley's not a natural-born citizen of the United States, and therefore she's ineligible to serve as president of the United States. So how do you earn the support of people who don't even know what they're voting for? That's an interesting question. I mean, if these people are truly Republican voters, and there's only one candidate who is the candidate the party selects as their candidate for president, who else are you going to vote for? Mickey Mouse? Who are you going to vote for? You think these people are going to vote for Joe Biden? I don't think so. So as I said, all of this comes after Trump nearly swept her on Super Tuesday. So the Trump-Biden rematch race is nearly set. And it's going to be a lot of drama. But let's be clear, okay? Nikki Haley won two states. She won both D.C. and Vermont. That's it. So she carried the D.C. swamp, and she carried Vermont. And Vermont is an interesting place because Vermont, out of all our states, is a state that keeps reelecting a confirmed Stalinist, Bernie Sanders, to the Senate. I mean, Bernie's favorite place in the world was Soviet Russia. He said so many times. If you listen, you can find footage of him talking about it. He was very impressed with the communist Marxist system in Soviet Russia. So Vermont keeps reelecting him to the Senate. What does that tell you about Vermont voters? And then we already know what's going on in D.C. I mean, D.C. is such a swamp, infested swamp, that between those two states that Nikki Haley carried, it gives us a good idea of the type of support that she draws. And it's questionable. It's almost subversive in and of itself, the way some so-called Republicans and independents also, I guess, as she claims, continue to support ineligible, globalist, warmongering candidates like Nikki Haley. And of course, there were Democrats voting for Haley in the primaries too. She didn't say that. But we know that, because of the way some of these primaries are arranged, you don't have to declare a party affiliation in some states. And you can vote if you're a Democrat, and you could vote in the Republican primary. Now, you can flip back in the national election and vote for your Democrat candidate. But in the primary, you can bluff and make it appear that maybe one candidate is getting more votes than they're going to get in the final. So you know why people do this. They were attempting to tip the primary away from Trump, and they threw a lot of money at that, and they failed. Now, is it legal? Yeah, in some states it's permitted. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea, but some of these states permit it. The states are allowed to configure their election system however they like. But of course, those same voters won't vote Republican in a national election, as I said. So, so they're not going to vote for Nikki Haley, or they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. They're going to vote for whoever the leftist or liberal or Democrat candidate is. And so will all of their dead relatives and neighbors. So that's something to consider. And speaking of globalist subversion, let's talk about another important topic borne out by the top news stories this week. I'm going to talk about weaponization. We've got a situation right now where our nation, in many aspects, is being weaponized against us in a lot of different ways. So I talked a little bit about illegal immigration in the beginning of the hour, and weaponization of immigration is a big problem. Our borders are being weaponized to swamp our nation and subvert our nation. The resources used to swamp our country are in effect subversive. It's treasonous. There's been a twisting of the 14th Amendment birthright citizenship clause. That clause, birthright citizenship in the 14th Amendment, was designed specifically and exclusively, according to John Bingham, the author of the 14th Amendment, it was designed specifically to give citizenship, to provide a path, a citizenship to the children of slaves. Because we had a problem. The Emancipation Proclamation had been signed, and we had all these former slaves that are now citizens. But what about their children? Their children were people without a country. And that was a dilemma. So the 14th Amendment solved that dilemma and granted the children of those slaves citizenship for the first time. But now that birthright citizenship clause, as it's been called, has been expanded to include anyone who might give birth, accidentally or on purpose, to a child on our soil. Now, this draws people here specifically to give birth in the United States so that their entire families can then participate in chain migration. I mean, I can remember stories of there are California birthing facilities where, Chinese women were coming here pregnant on a tourist visa, for example, or some other visa that they were able to get. And they were giving birth to their children here, and those children are then planted as citizens here, and then they can pull the entire rest of the family over. And that's not just Chinese people, it's people from a lot of different nations are, I believe, it's an abomination of our system. It's a thwarting of the way our system was meant to operate. Okay, it flies a little bit under the radar, but there are people, American citizens, who have an agenda to swamp our nation and change things over and make these people, in some cases, dependent on government so that they can manipulate their voting and switch them over to voters as soon as possible. So I think that's part of the agenda, is to change the voting nature of this country. And in the meantime, they populate districts, and those districts then are granted additional representatives in the House of Representatives, which is another way that they can change the fabric of our nation. Now, a lot of this has been going on for some time, but if you take a look at the UN Compact for Global Migration, which was introduced by Obama and signed with the UN, here's the truth. The border crisis was not a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. This is completely by design. And this is how they made it happen. And they used the language of the United Nations 2018 Global Compact on Migration, they call it. Okay. It's illegal immigration. Okay. But they call it migration. And they made illegal immigration a human right. And they got rid of the word illegal. So they changed the language, as George Orwell was famous for pointing out. Even the language will change. That's something right out of 1984, that book by George Orwell. We're in an Orwellian dilemma. So we have weaponization of immigration. Now, we're going to go to another break, and I'm going to come back and we're going to detail some of the other ways that our systems and our government and our law enforcement and other aspects of our society are being weaponized against us. This is Bruce Robertson. Stay with us.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back to Unleashed, the Political News Hour. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson. When we left you before the break, I was discussing how some of our systems, in fact, many of our systems, are being weaponized against us. And we talked about weaponization of the immigration system. And it's a serious problem, which popped up right in my own backyard. If you were here from the beginning of this broadcast, you'll hear that I had a group of illegal aliens just pop up right outside my home. So this is going on. We talked about the Compact for Global Migration introduced by Obama and the United Nations. But there are other ways that our system is being weaponized against us. There's the weaponization of our legal system, the lawfare that's going on right now against political enemies in many cases. There's been considerable purchasing of district attorneys and attorneys general and judges. And there's been blackmailing of some of these people using the most nefarious means, some of them involving Jeffrey Epstein and others. George Soros has been involved. He's been very actively involved in funding these political entities and paying for their campaigns and getting his people in place to change the fabric of our nation to fit his leftist globalist agenda. And then there's the weaponization of the NGOs and the foundations. And again, people like Soros have their fingers in these things. And that's both here and around the world. The NGOs or non-government organizations and foundations, like, you know, you've heard some of these names before, ACORN, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, HIAS, which is an international NGO, Doctors Without Borders, or in French, it's Médecins Sans Frontières. My friend Laura Loomer was just in Panama, and she reported on this during the week. And she went to the Bajo Chiquito migrant camp in Darien Gap in Panama this week. And she was live streaming, and I was fascinated by what she found. It was really shocking, actually. This camp, Bajo Chiquito, is the first camp for invaders headed toward the U.S., and it's the first one that they encounter once they make the trek through the Darien Gap, through the jungles of Colombia. Okay? So, by way of this camp, the invaders register, and there are stations there for them to register to take a bus that disperses them to other migrant camps in Panama, where they then pay $70 each to get on a bus to Costa Rica, where they can then travel to Nicaragua, Honduras, and Mexico in order to enter the United States illegally. She said that the conditions in the camp are filthy, and there are about 3,000 people arriving in the camp every day, most of them military-age men. And they are then processed by what's called Centerfront Panama. Now, Centerfront is overwhelmed. They're trying to control the flow, but, you know, they're having a hard time. And leftist non-government organizations like HIAS, that's HIAS, it's an acronym, and Doctors Without Borders, all of them being propped up by the United Nations, keep encouraging the invasion of the U.S. And they even help facilitate the invasion by teaching the invaders about the best routes and maps into the United States. And this comes straight from my friend and eyewitness to all this, who was just in Panama at the border. So this is a crisis, folks. This is going on. It's organized and it's deliberate. Okay. And then we have the weaponization of Congress by corporate lobbying. You know, bribing via campaign contributions. We saw it with the pharmaceutical companies, for example, getting some of these vaccines approved for emergency use authorization, even though they didn't have the details, they didn't have the proper testing that they needed to assure that they were safe and effective for the public. And now we've got big problems because, you know, people are dying suddenly from the vaccines. And then there's all sorts of insider trading deals that Congress are involved in. And also, as I mentioned earlier, there's the blackmail, which sometimes involved people like Jeffrey Epstein to get them to do things that they normally wouldn't do, but they've got the dirt on them, and so they get them to play along. Then there's the weaponization of elections and our election systems using nonprofits. Again, nonprofits and non-government organizations to fraudulently do the things that government can't do directly and manipulate election results, both here and abroad. And some of our intelligence agencies are involved in this. I mean, there was just a major expose. A Soros-financed nonprofit organization was caught in a global election interference scheme. You know, retired General Wesley Clark admits interfering in the elections in Italy, Greece, and Hungary. That was a story by Gateway Pundit. You could find that. Soros financed the nonprofit that interfered with the elections in Italy, Greece, and Hungary. So why are we getting involved in all this stuff? What's at stake here? There must be a lot of money on the line. And then we've got the weaponization of domestic and foreign intelligence agencies, which I touched on a little bit earlier. It's all sort of mixed together. I mean, the revelation that the U.S. intelligence community, especially under the Obama administration and also under the Biden administration and even under the Trump administration flying under the radar, they sought the assistance of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance. Those are the five English-speaking countries that we are allies with. And they went to Five Eyes and they collaborated or conspired to surveil Donald Trump's associates and Donald Trump before the 2016 election. So, you know, that's a chilling reminder of the lengths to which the deep state will go to protect its interests and challenge its adversaries. And then there's the direct weaponization of government. I mean, Representative Thomas Massie from Kentucky, Republican from Kentucky, has been heading up this committee right now on the weaponization of government. And you can hear the hearings. If you're paying attention, you can see it. Massey's been very vocal about it. He's uncovering things in all these areas, some pretty serious stuff. And then, of course, in addition to intelligence and government and elections and Congress and, you know, media, how about weaponization of media? We know about that. That's all being exposed, some of it by Massie. But then there's the weaponization of law enforcement. How about the FBI? Do we believe that the FBI is trustworthy, or have they hid evidence? Have they suppressed evidence? Where's the information, for example, on the Seth Rich murder? Where's the information on the, where, what happened with the Hunter Biden laptop? Didn't they sit on that when they had it? Did they sort of dodge the issue and hide things? How about Ashley Biden's diary? The FBI had it. What'd they do with it? You know, where's the information? Why isn't that being made transparent to the American people? And now we're seeing maybe some FBI funding being trimmed. And I think that's a good thing. Republicans in Congress are trying to trim funding to the FBI. Republicans said that their bill to trim FBI funding utilizes the power of the purse to address the weaponization of the growing bureaucracy within the FBI. You know, the alleged operation against Trump and his associates, which predates the official start of the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation, is a prime example of political weaponization of our intelligence agencies and some aspects of our government. And again, this is not hyperbolic or exaggerated to say that the Biden regime has gone full-blown 1930s Third Reich on us. I mean, the Nazis would be proud of some of the things he's done. He's weaponized our legal system. He and Obama both. He's created a system of election interference and fraud, which keeps on more and more. We're seeing more and more evidence of this. There's been a big effort to control by the state our media and technology companies. You know, they've collaborated with our intelligence agencies considerably, and intelligence has been embedded in many of these media companies. And of course, they don't want to disclose the information. They say it's a matter of national security. That's what they hide behind. And then, of course, there's the mass propaganda and disinformation campaign. Not to mention waging world war, developing bioweapons, genocide through those bioweapons, and human trafficking. I mean, we're living in such a weird moment right now in real time. We're in the midst of one of the most sinister and tyrannical empires in human history. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this network, AmericaOutloud.news network, because we really try and bring you the truth, and we're all about God and country here. And also the products that support us, our sponsors. We wouldn't be here without our sponsors, and our sponsors really make some great products, and you'll hear about that during our break. And we've already had a couple of breaks, and you'll hear about it after the show. But I want to encourage you to go to AmericaOutloud.shop and enter the code OUTLOUD to get a 20% discount on your first purchase. Now there's another story, and this really caught my attention. Dr. Phil was on the other day, and he went completely off script with a stunning criticism of the U.S. government. And, you know what's bad? When Dr. Phil chimes in on it. I mean, this guy's like, he's America's psychoanalyst. He's America's personal advice guy. You know, he's like Dr. Joyce Brothers. Dr. Phil delivered a 25-second critique of the U.S. government that really hit the nail on the head. He said, we've got people in charge. I quote his little tirade on the U.S. government. He said, we've got people in charge of solving problems that don't really want to solve them because their job depends on having that problem. They need that problem to justify their existence. They need that problem to maintain this huge bureaucracy, to maintain this massive big budget, this big agency. They need that problem to exist. He said, I think we've got people in charge of solving problems that are not problem solvers. You know, I got to agree with Dr. Phil here. At this point in time, the U.S. is faced with over $31 trillion in debt. Life expectancies that pale in comparison to other Western nations, despite spending the most money on healthcare by a long shot. And we have the largest influx of illegal immigration the country has seen in its entire lifetime. So this calls into question, how much of this is the government doing on purpose? When Dr. Phil, you know, a guy who's traditionally known for tackling and addressing like personal family matters and mental health challenges, addiction problems, and so forth, you know, I mean, he's been beloved for his input on these topics. But when Dr. Phil shifts his focus to criticizing the failures of U.S. governance, it's a sure sign that things have taken a turn for the worse. Of course, some of us who've been wide awake for a while can already see that. We sense it. We feel it. There's a battle between good and evil going on. And we know how it ends. We know who wins. We know that good eventually triumphs over evil. But, you know, it's concerning. It's disconcerting, in fact, disconcerting. You know, and just in time, listen to this. This last point, I've got a couple of minutes here. There's one last point. Just in time for the election cycle, since Democrats are losing traction badly with blacks and Hispanics, the progressives are now taking pot shots. At who? At white American conservatives and Christians. Well, isn't that wonderful? Have you seen this new book that just came out? It was just on MSNBC, did a feature piece on it. White Rural Rage. White Rural Rage. The Threat to American Democracy. I thought it was a joke when I first saw it. It's written by Tom Schaller and Paul Waldman. Schaller is a professor of political science at the University of Maryland. And Waldman bills himself as a, quote, journalist and political writer. Well, MSNBC did a feature piece on this week with Mika Brzezinski, okay? I mean, what they're doing is they're saying that white Americans are responsible for posing a threat to American democracy. They say Christianity. They call them Christian nationalists. They're trying to vilify the core of the United States populace. I mean, middle America is mostly white, is mostly Christian, is mostly patriotic. And this is what these people in Washington and New York and on the West Coast in big cities, LA and San Francisco, are trying to vilify the core of America. And all of this as the Great Replacement is taking place on our borders. So I want you to think about these things. And I want you to remember that only we can unleash the truth. And only if we share this information with others and wake America up. We need to wake America up and unleash the truth.